everyone. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the help. I'm going to do the announcements a little bit later, but I'm going to ask you now just to stand and sing with us, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. To celebrate the birth of Jesus. The Carol Choir musical will help us do that. In a moment after we greet each other, we'll be reading, lighting the Advent candle. Please read along in your bulletins for that as well. And just know that Christ is with you and that he says to you, mercy and peace in abundance. Will you receive that and share that with all those around you, warmly welcoming all in Christ's name. I'm glad for all your energy and enthusiasm. Please join us as we read, as we light the Advent wreath together.
Good morning. Am I on? The light glowing from our Advent wreath is burning brighter. This radiance warms our hearts and fills us with joy. The Lord has done great things for us. Let us rejoice.
Light three candles, see them glow brightly, so that all may know how three candles show the way, making our darkness bright as day.
Dear God, we carry many burdens and worry over many things. Help us to hear your promise in this Advent season, that in hearing we may receive the Spirit's gift of joy, and may our spirits have sound.
Now I'll share a few announcements with you. If you were with us Friday night at the Peter Mayer concert, that we had an all-time record, 550 people. We think that we'll each of the three organizations will have about $2,000 to distribute to Christmas charities around the community. And so it was a great event, and I hope you enjoyed it. Would you take your connection card out? We're just getting used to this Advent season. If you're a regular visitor or member, all we need you to do is sign your name and put it in the wicker basket that comes along with the offering plate. If your information's changed, please indicate that. If you're a guest, please fill it out completely, and we have a gift for you if you're a guest, first-time guest in the fellowship hall, just in the first door to your left. And then the backside, upper right-hand corner, if you want more information about something, the bottom part if you want to sign up for something, and the upper left if you want to make some sort of spiritual commitment. Jeff Yarnell is going to share with us a great new happening with the Center for Life Transitions, and it looks like he's going to use the yellow microphone, John. And Jeff, I'll let you do that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
When the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field, they said to them, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Now, while my announcement today is nowhere near as joyous as the birth of Jesus Christ, it is certainly reason for us to praise the Lord and give thanks. Many of you have seen the announcement in the bulletin the last few weeks that Consistory has accepted an amount of funds in the memory of Ethel Keynes. Well, I'm here today to give you an idea of just what that entails. The Center for Life Transitions has decided to pass along to North Branch a large sum of money in the loving memory of Ethel Keynes. Now, this generous gift from the Center of Life Transitions will go into a separate endowment fund specifically set up for this purpose. Now, many of you may ask, why are the funds going into a separate account? We already have an endowment fund. Well, the reason is twofold. First, because the funds come along with some specific rules on how they can and cannot be used. And second, because the magnitude of this gift is greater than any endowment we've ever received, which, once everything is finalized, could be as much as $750,000. Let's let that sink in a little bit. $750,000. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, this endowment fund will enable MBRC, like never before, to reach out to those in need or going through a crisis. Now, for today, I'm not going to go into any specifics on what the rules of the endowment are and how everything will be set up, because that's something that we're still working out. What I can say is that the funds are to be used for, number one, people-oriented services, and number two, to continue the mission of the Center of Life Transitions in helping to ensure that those in need of counseling are able to receive it. The Consistory has designated a subcommittee to handle the transition of these funds and to develop the guidelines and structures of the endowment going forward. Now, the second Sunday of February is our annual congregational meeting. That Sunday, the service and sermon will go a little deeper into the specifics of the endowment and just what that means for our own mission as Christ's people. So try to hold on to your questions until then, when we have everything figured out. Christmas is a time to rejoice, and the good we can accomplish with this gift from CLT is but one more reason to praise God. One last thing. One of the stipulations of the endowment is that the funds cannot be used for our budget or for capital improvements. So if you haven't already, keep those pledge cards coming.
That was a terrific announcement. Thank you. What a gift, huh? When's the last time you were able to receive $750,000 to use for Christ's purposes in the community? And we're grateful for Ethel Keynes and all she meant to us. As we think about the gifts at Christmas that we receive, if you look at page 6 in the announcements, you may want to remember a loved one this Christmas with poinsettias. Under women's ministry, it describes how you can do that. And under worship on page 6, you may want to spread the gift of Christmas love by inviting someone to either our 6, 8, or 11 p.m. worship services so that they too might receive the great gift of Jesus. And now, to prepare us to receive the blessing of this musical, Will you join me in a word of prayer? Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for leaving the warmth and the glory and the joy, perfect joy of heaven, the perfect love of your Father and Holy Spirit, to come to be born in a cold, empty, smelly barn. Oh God, and we pray that as we celebrate that the greatest gift of Christmas, not money, the greatest gift, not presents, the greatest gift of your presence being with us, help us to experience anew in the words and the songs of this musical. We pray your blessing on all who perform, and we pray that it will go first and foremost to your praise and honor. In your name we pray, and all God's people said.
Christmas, the final frontier. This is the voyage of the starship Noel. Our mission is to explore the universe, to seek out the real center of Christmas, to boldly go where some have never gone before. Captain's log, stardate 2143.5. It is the first voyage of its kind, an entire starship crew of kids exploring the universe for the center of a holiday called Christmas. We have studied the planet Earth where we thought we might find the center. So far, we haven't yet found the reason for it all. Our search party is about to beam down one last time on this planet to our final coordinates. Here we will try to find a professor, Dr. J. Ingle Bell, who we hope can tell us why they celebrate this holiday and where it all began.
Noel, born is the King of Israel. Born is the King. everybody. Let's stick together. As you know, Earthlings act a little strange around Christmas time. Zor, you've taken a reading?
Aye, sir. We have just arrived at a place called the Street Corner. We have just heard as indeed music. Christmas carols, they call it, rather common during the holidays.
Well, what is the message, J.D.?
Maybe it's Professor Bell trying to contact us.
That's an illogical assumption, Holly. The professor is not even aware of our journey. Besides, I did not think this kind of primitive language would be spoken by a noted Christmasologist such as Professor J. Ingle Bell.
Actually, that is quite puzzling. I must gather more data.
Then how are we supposed to find Professor Bell?
The professor teaches Christmasology here at the university, and according to my scanner, a life form that fits his description is heading this way right now. Okay, everybody, act like normal Earth kids. Try to fit in.
Excuse me, young man, I didn't see you there. Excuse me, may I pass?
Live long and prosper.
Oh, a secret club, eh? And you need a password to get through? Live long and prosper. Now may I pass?
Zor, this isn't exactly what I call fitting in. Excuse us, sir. Just a little game. Let me apologize for my friend. He gets carried away sometimes.
Yes, perhaps he watches too much television.
I guess we are doing a survey. That's right, a survey for a school project. Would you mind answering a few questions?
Very well, make it brief.
What is your favorite part of Christmas?
What are your customs?
What language is ho ho ho?
Okay, let's give the professor a break.
How do you know I'm a professor?
You're famous all over the galaxy.
I haven't seen you children here before, have I?
Captain, allow me to make a mind emerge.
No, Zor. Professor, you're right. We aren't from around here.
We're from far away.
Very far away.
And we understand that you're a Christmasologist, an expert on Christmas.
That's right.
We studied this holiday too, but we're still searching for the true meaning of Christmas. We thought you might be able to help us.
You're from very far away,
Exactly 346.5 billion light years.
Zor!
Oh, this is a game, right?
That's illogical. Professor Johnson Inglebell, born December 25th, 1945 in New Haven, Connecticut.
How did you know that?
And your mother's name is Bertha.
Where did you come from? And why are you here?
We told you we're looking for the center of Christmas.
That's right, Professor. Don't be afraid. Let's just say we're pioneers in our field, like you.
Yes, we quite understand you're a pioneer in the field of Christmasology.
Pioneer? Actually, I'm the only one in my field.
Then you'll help us?
Well,
looking for the meaning.
Journey to the center of Christmas, And you say you gather information? What kind of information?
Well, you see, Professor, we've watched people on Earth celebrate this holiday, and then gathered and stored the information on images as holograms.
Holograms?
Affirmative. Holograms are three-dimensional facsimiles of original image which may be projected onto an Earth surface, thereby giving the illusion that the image is indeed real.
Okay. Now I know you're watching way too much television.
Shall I demonstrate?
Amazing. Simply astounding. I wouldn't have believed if I hadn't seen it for myself.
We've got lots of holograms.
58 to be exact.
Actually, Professor, we were wondering if you could tell us what these images mean. Are people programmed to do certain things at Christmas time?
Yes, these people look more like robots than humans.
Tradition. Though tradition is a very nice thing and even important, sometimes it covers, people are too busy to enjoy them, and it covers up the real center of Christmas.
In this next hologram, people don't seem to be having much fun. Tell us what it means, Professor.
Yeah.
trap. I haven't got a minute for a tiny winter's nap. Running in circles, right and then left. Coming and going, running into myself. Christmas overload. Christmas overload. Warning, warning.
I saw it first.
Christmas overload.
Hey, move it, buddy.
Christmas overload.
Give me a break, will ya?
Christmas overload. Christmas overload. Christmas overload.
Still going. Well, Professor,
can the center of Christmas be found in these activities?
Hardly.
I was right, wasn't I? The people in this image aren't having fun.
Oh, parties and activities are supposed to be fun, but sometimes people are too busy to enjoy them.
Captain, I've made an incredible discovery.
Discovery?
Affirmative. I have discovered the source of the unknown language.
Unknown language? I don't understand.
You locked onto that same frequency again?
Affirmative. It came from a coordinate called a department store. The most puzzling experience, Captain. I found a man sitting in the corner of the store, peevishly saying, "Ho, ho, ho." Children surrounded him as if they understood this message.
Santa Claus, there's another fascinating image for you.
And he gave me this.
It's a candy cane. It's sweet. Try it.
Santa Claus, who is that?
He represents the spirit of giving. See, giving gifts is a big part of our tradition.
Giving gifts? Well, then, is that the center of Christmas?
It's
getting closer. There was a very special gift given long ago.
And that was the center of it all, the very first Christmas.
Zora, did you record a department store image?
Affirmative, Captain. I recorded the most curious procedure. I think they call it Christmas shopping.
Then let's see it.
Come and see the merchandise. All our goods are quality.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Perfect gift for him or her.
Or for both if you prefer.
I am sure that they'll be pleased.
Satisfaction guaranteed. We have a fine selection and service. Just compare, we declare, we won't be undersold.
Take a number, stand in line.
It'll be well worth your time.
We will gift wrap it for free.
Satisfaction guaranteed. We have a fine selection. Service is our goal. Just compare, we declare, we won't be undersold.
Come and see the merchandise.
Bet you'll find a gift that's right. All our goods are quality.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
You said that the most special gift of all was given a long time ago. Then why do all of those salespeople think that they have the best gift?
Well, that's another problem we have at Christmas. Every year we try to buy more, spend more, and outdo each other. And even though a lot of times we are giving the presents to people that we love, it will never be able to top the first gift.
What was it?
Oh, yes, it must have been wonderful.
Oh, it was. You know, I don't have a hologram to show you, but it's a very clear image. If you will, a tiny baby.
Oh, I love babies.
Yes, and all babies are special gifts from God. This baby was very different. He was the son of the creator of all the universe.
Wow.
The baby's name was Jesus.
Where are his coordinates?
Oh, coordinates? The baby was born in a town called Bethlehem around 2,000 years ago. His whole story is right here in this book.
Living out in a field near Bethlehem.
In fields where they keeping the sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
And the angels appeared to the shepherds and told them God's son had been born. Army of angels appeared and began to sing praises to God. And the shepherds went to Bethlehem and found the child laying in a cattle trough. Shepherds bowed down and worshiped their newborn king.
The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Gave his best gift to us. It was a tiny baby.
Amazing.
Affirmative, Captain.
Professor?
Yes?
How can people forget the most important day on Jesus' birthday?
Oh, I don't think they mean to. Sometimes parties and activities just cover up the center of Christmas. We needed to be reminded again and again that Jesus is the real center of Christmas.
I remember angels sang a message. every song we sing is for the birthday of the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of all.
For everything.
Professor, promise we'll forget what we learned.
Yeah, we have wonderful stories to tell.
Well, young man, I guess I'll be seeing you later.
Actually, that is highly logical. The source of the intergalactic coordinates which would allow that possibility.
Sorry, Professor. Live long and prosper.
Children today watch extremely too much television. You know who you are.
Energize! Captain's Log, Stardate 2143.6. Our mission is complete. Thanks to the Professor J. Engle Bell, we did find the real center of Christmas. Now we must return home to make a full report on this new discovery. Of all the information we gathered, of all the images we recorded, we found only one thing, actually one person, who is significant and everlasting. Jesus was only one child, a tiny speck in this huge universe, yet everything that was created revolves around him. There must be a million stars in a million galaxies, but may we always remember that Jesus shines brighter than them all.
Holiday, we're searching for the reason.
all of your hard work over the course of the last several months, all of you that helped to prepare and remind us of what the center of Christmas is. We give thanks to Linda and for Judy Stotts, who have worked very hard with this group, and all of the parents that made it possible for them to be here and to make this happen. Let's give one last round of applause to give thanks. We have the blessing to celebrate what is the center of Christmas, probably a very appropriate follow-up this morning with a baptism, a reminder of Jesus' birth, but then also the promise of new life for us and specifically for MJ Baker today. So I want to invite forward MJ and his parents, Mike and Wendy, to join me up front here. And Elder Jeff Minchin's going to come up, and we're going to do a quick set change here so that all of you can be able to see them. You two can stand up, too. And there's your little cheat sheet, just in case, just in case. So, MJ, we talked about this the other day, didn't we? About what's happening today. You don't know. You just remember that there's one question, very importantly, that I'm going to ask you, right? So you hold on to that answer for 1 second, because we're going to be reminded of what the Bible says to us, of God's love for us, specifically in the book of Acts, that says the promise is for you and for your children, which you might have someday, maybe, MJ, but for all those who are far away and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. As we celebrate today, we're reminded that baptism is the sign and the seal of God's promise for us. In baptism, God promises you and each one of us, as we've been in this position maybe before, to forgive us of our sins, to adopt us into God's family, to send the Holy Spirit every day to renew us, and promises us the resurrection and eternal life. And Jeff, I'm going to ask you to grab the carafe here a second. Because water, right, MJ, you remember this when we talked the other day? This looked familiar. You can touch it, right? No, you don't want to right now? But water is the sign of life that we use for baptism. And Jeff, if you'll just pour it and we'll listen to the water splash around, lift it nice and high. We hear this water that is the promise and the sign of God providing life for us. Because water does what for us? It refreshes us. You even remember when we talked about it, right? You know, when we're thirsty, it washes us when we're dirty, right? And it sustains us for every day in life. And so in baptism today, we are reminded that Christ calls us to obey him, to love and to trust God completely, to avoid those things that God doesn't want us to do, to live holy as best as we can, but at the same time, in our baptism, we're reminded that even when we do those things, that Jesus promises to forgive us, for this is the sign of his promise to us. Jeff?
On behalf of the Board of Elders, I present MJ Baker to receive the sacrament of baptism.
All right, and I'm going to steal your microphone for a second, because here's your one and loud point, right? You remember your part? Who is your Lord and Savior, MJ?
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. And with you making that promise, and with the work that Mom and Dad have already done to bring you here to the day, and this family that surrounds you, your family as well as our church family,
We ask Mom and Dad to continue to make promises, as we will do in just 1 second. Mr. Minchin will ask the rest of the congregation to make a promise. But Mike and Wendy, do you promise to continue to teach MJ God's Word, to pray for him, to train him in Christ's way by your example in worship and the church? And if so, say, we do, and we ask God to help us. All right, and now the congregation.
May rise, please.
As a sign of your promise to call and support, if you're a guest or a visitor here, please just join us in this sign of support for MJ's confession today.
Do you promise to love your brother by teaching the good news, by being an example of Christians, and by supporting him as God's family with a helping hand and hands clasped in prayer? If so, say, we do.
And now, it's not in your bulletins, but I think we do it every Sunday, so hopefully we can all say the Apostles' Creed together as a profession of this faith that we believe. And we say together, we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I tried to make it at least a little warm for you today. Believe it or not, I did refill the carafe this morning, so it's not old, stale water. But this water, right here, MJ, is the water that God promises to bless you, and as we've made promises to you today. So it's my honor, based on what you've said before us here today, to baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And I mark you with the cross that is the sign of God's promise and sealed with the Holy Spirit today. And it's my pleasure to announce to you and to everybody here that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, MJ, you are now received into the membership of the visible church of Jesus Christ. And today you have made the promise to be a faithful servant of God's until your life's end. And for that we all give thanks and praise to God. You want to present the gifts, Jeff, on behalf of the elders?
Yes. On behalf of the elders, MJ, you have your own new Bible and a certificate of this event.
And MJ, since he's got his own legs, unlike sometimes when we do baptisms around here, I'm not going to try and carry him, but we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me together, and he can go around and get, maybe you want to give the Bible and the certificate to Mom and Dad, and you can go around and shake hands and give high fives when we sing Jesus Loves Me. Sound good? All right, we give thanks to God. I'll walk with you.
Thank you.
may be seated. And we're going to prepare to sing our final carol. But while we're doing so, in order to be efficient with our time and be ready for the next service, we're going to take the offering at this time as well. So the ushers will come forward. And please put those connection cards in the wicker baskets as well. Feel free to stay seated, give of your tithes and offerings, and sing along with our carol. Pray with me, please. God, we give you thanks for these gifts that you have blessed us with today. We especially give you thanks for the reminder from our youth choir this morning that shared with us the real meaning of what the center of Christmas is. As we continue throughout the upcoming weeks, help us to be reminded of that. Help us to live in this promise of new life that we've celebrated in the baptism with MJ and the Baker family today. Lord God, for these gifts and the gifts that we have given of our tithes and offerings, may all of them be used to glorify you today. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Will you stand, please, and take the hands of those around you? And that same Jesus, who was born on that first Christmas, promises you this, as he did to MJ, as we celebrated with him today, that Jesus goes with you, before you to prepare your path, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, beneath you in troubled times to carry you, and most importantly, within you, to give you his abiding and abundant peace, now and forevermore, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.